Thank you. Let's stand together tonight. Everybody stand. I can't hear this up here. Can you crank it up for me? Thanks. Let's all stand together tonight. I'll apologize in advance. I have a bit of a cold, and it's in my throat tonight. So if I say a word that sounds feminine, it's not because I'm talking like Brother Pineda, okay? It's because this is dying up here. Can I get another one? Hello? Oh, hey. That's better. Hey, where have you been hiding this? The good stuff, okay? 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 19. I'm sorry, chapter 18. We're going to read several verses here. Story I've read many, many times, and I thought it was interesting, and then finally we pulled something out of here. After reading it, a thought hit me a while ago. And I shared part of the thought with the college when I went up to the retreat. 2 Samuel chapter 18, and we'll start in verse 19. Thank you for being faithful tonight. And it's crowded in here. We have extra people outside, of course, because we have Patch in here. There's a reason we have Patch out here on Sunday night. It's to make it so you can have a little bit of room. And so we have him in here tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 18, starting verse 19. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king's tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. Let me give you a couple. We'll go through the story in a minute when you sit down, but just so you know where we're at. Absalom has just been disloyal to his father. He took over the throne, and so we're to the part where they have a battle, and there's a battle, and David's crew is winning, and they've won it, and actually at this time, Absalom's dead. And so they're going to take the news to David so he knows what's going on. They're going to get news to him from off the battlefield. Verse 20. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go, tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. So Ahimaaz is not going to go, but he's going to send Cushai. Then said Ahimaaz unto the son of Zadok yet again to Joab, but however, let me, I pray, thee also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run today, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, saith he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. So he gets there first. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king. And the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. The watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king. And he said, blessed be the Lord God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great multitude, but I knew not what it was. He didn't know. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. Basically saying, no, he's been killed. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We pray, Father, in these few short minutes that we have together, that you would help us to get a thought. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Give us what you have for us tonight from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me go by way of introduction to the story. So I mentioned earlier, this is the ending of the tragic tale of Absalom and his betrayal of his father. When they were getting ready to fight against Absalom, David had commanded them to do everything they could not to kill Absalom. David did not want him killed. But if you know the story, as they were fighting, Absalom was running and he had long hair and his head got caught in a tree. And some men find him. Joab is told by one of the soldiers, hey, we know where Absalom is. He's over here. He's caught in a tree. Joab asked the messenger, he says, why didn't you kill him? And he's like, well, because you were there. I heard it also when the king said, don't kill him. And if I would have done it, you would have killed me. And Joab said, I don't have time for this. And Joab takes things into his own hand, and he goes and has Absalom killed. This is where we picked up the story. They had no cell phones or way of communication in that day except for word of mouth. And so if they were going to send word of what was going on during the battle, they had to get someone to physically run and communicate and bring the message. Ahimaaz volunteers to run to David and give him the tidings of the battle. Joab says, no, not today. Your time will come another time. And he points out Cushai and says, Cushai, you're the one I want to go and tell King David what transpires. And so Cushai takes off. Ahimaaz is pretty persistent. Even though Cushai's taken off, he keeps begging, let me go too. I want to run. He's like, no. Finally, after a while, he gets tired of listening to it. So he says, fine, you can run. Go. And of course, he had better legs. And so he ran faster and he gets there before Cushai. When he gets there, David asks him really what he wants to know. Is my son Absalom safe? I don't know. He says, I'm not sure about that. So here's the messenger there to give the message, and he ain't got no message. It's like, yeah, I don't know. I saw a bunch of stuff going on, and I know we're winning the battle, but your son, I don't know. And David's like, fine, you stand over here. Cushai comes later. Not quite as fast, but he gets there. And when he gets there, he has the message. Your son is dead. What's the point? Ahimaaz got there first, but he had no news to give. He could run. He got there. But when he got there, the very thing David needed, the very thing David wanted, he was not able to get there. Now, Cushai got there a little bit later, but he had information that David wanted. He had the message. Let's apply that to us today. You know, as Christians, once we're saved and God works in our life, we are in the messenger business. God wants us to deliver a message. Now, the primary message that we give is the message of salvation, but there's so much more. There are so much more when someone is saved that we can give them from God's word to help their life and to help them to be everything that God wants them to have. And God uses us to get the message out. People today need a message of hope. Not just here, but worldwide. Now we have that message. The message isn't contained in God's word. God wants us to get the good word out to everybody we can. We've talked much here about China. If there's a place that needs good news, China needs to hear the news. God wants us, I believe, I'm positive, God wants us to have a team there. Just like we have a team in Laos, just like we have a team in Thailand, and just like we have a team in Cambodia. But God wants us to get his message out everywhere. Just like we, several years ago, started a church out in Monterey Park, God wants us to get the message out. That was one little thing right there. Sounded like Brother Pineda there for a second. God wants us to get his word out. By the way, we got kind of good news. We've been looking around because we're not where. Should we tell them? Okay, you already told the other church, right? Okay. We've kind of been looking around for a better building. The building we have over there is not optimal. How many of you have ever been to Maywood? When I went in there, I had to do this. It was bad. I'm like, Mother Mary's all over that place. It's dark. The hours are not good. They're not real good with us, and we've been looking for another building, and it looks like we're going to find another building here very soon. I think we just found out something exciting, so that's exciting. Now, back to the message. God wants us to give the good news because people need hope. People need hope for their marriages. Over 50% of marriages end in divorce today. And I'm not a brain surgeon, but I guess a high percentage of those that don't end in divorce, they probably don't have a very happy marriage. Years ago, and it shocked me, when I was driving into work, I had the news on, and this was secular news station. They did a survey of married ladies, and I think it was like 65% of married ladies that they did the survey to said they would entertain the thought of having an affair. Sounds like marriages are in trouble in our country. But we have hope. We have a message in the Word of God. People need hope for their families. You see, the people have followed the world's way. By the way, we do understand that children in this country are not getting better. It's getting worse. You cannot. I'm so thankful we have a Christian school here, and our Christian school, our kids in our Christian school aren't saints, but they're not perfect. But I'm telling you something. You compare them to any school in any public school around here, they're pretty close. Okay, it's ridiculous. You drive by the average school, it's a prison, okay? Trying to keep the kids in and all the nonsense that goes on there, and the teacher doesn't tell them no. I saw Brother Esposito years ago gave us a video, a 2020 thing about schools in America. I forget what it was and how the schools or systems are so bad. This was 2020. And I remember this film crew went into this one school in New York, and they purposely sent them into the best class. The most well-behaved class. And here's the kids sitting there, and they have their feet up on the desk, and they're talking, and they're being rude, and I'm like, that's the best? Okay, it's a mess. We don't know what to do with the children. I just read an article the other day, and this is a secular article, and they came out and said, in our studies, we're finding out that children that come from traditional, intact families do better in every area of life. They make more money, they're more educated, they're better workers, all down the line. What a shock. I forget what the stat was. I heard a stat of men who are in jail, and it's like, I think it's over 70% of them didn't have a dad in the home. Thank you. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Our families are a mess. But you know what? We have the message. We have the good news. People need help for their problems. Everybody has problems. Some people have financial problems. We'll stop right there. Let's just hope they're not self-inflicted. Most finance problems are. People have all kinds of issues they go through in their life, and they do the best they can, but they're listening to the wrong people. They think Oprah is their pastor, and she's the one. Listen, she's a bad pastor, okay? Well, when she used to get on her show and they wanted to talk about puppies and all that, whatever. Now she's going to give you life advice? I don't think so. Okay, and Dr. Phil and all the others, it's nonsense. We're getting our answers from the wrong place. But people have problems. People struggle. I mean, life is a grind, and day to day, and getting up and going to a job and all this and trying to make ends meet. People have no purpose in life. You know what people need today? They need the good news from God's Word. They need the good news from the Bible. But let me say this. We can't deliver it to them if we don't have it ourselves. There's no news to give. The world is waiting for the news, but most Christians are ill-equipped to deliver it. Look, 70% of people in America say they're Christians. The key word is say. Okay? Now, that's lower. It's higher than all the others. But you've got to be kidding me. If that was true, if everybody who says they're a Christian really was and sought to live for God, we would have revival in this country overnight. But the fact of the matter is, most people that claim to be Christians are no different than the world, and so they have nothing to offer to the world. We're just like them. Christianity is full of ahimases. Our growth and our life is so weak, we have nothing to give. And you know, and worse yet, what we do have to give is so watered down and diluted and polluted, it's worthless. In fact, it's harmful. So we need some Cushites tonight. We need some solid, steady Christians with a message to give. We need to overcome Ahimaaz's shortcomings. What were his shortcomings? Let me give you several tonight. We'll be done. First of all, I see this. Being willing is not enough. See, he was willing to run. In fact, he wanted to run. He was the first to get there and say, let me go. I want to go give the news. And he's like, you ain't going now. Come on. No. Cushai, go give the news. Oh, let me go also. I want to go. He was willing. And by the way, let me say this. Willing is a start, and we'll talk about that in a minute. If we're going to do anything for God, we've got to be willing to do it. But let me say this. It's not enough just to be willing. It's not enough just to be, I'll do these things, and we don't follow through on them. Being willing is not enough. Now, let me say this. I think everybody who's saved ought to be willing to do whatever God wants them to do. Okay? And we talk much about missions, and this is not a missions message, but do you know God's will has, I don't see anywhere where it had borders. That's something we put on there. Right? We've done that, and so now we need a first calling to serve God, and then we need a second calling to go out of this country to serve God. Fact of the matter is, it ought to just be when you're saved, God, what do you want me to do? Just tell me and I'll do it. That's willing. And I think everybody, and by the way, we ought to diligently seek God's will. You singles, you ought to be, God, what do you want for me? Who do you want me to marry? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And don't be afraid of it, because God is not going to give you something that you would not like or enjoy. God's going to put you in that place right where he knows is best for you. He's going to give you that person to marry. That's the perfect person for you. Don't be afraid of it. Don't try to work it out yourself and, well, here's what I've always wanted to do. That's great. Remember years ago, I think it was Josiah. We were somewhere, and I think Brother Board asked him, Josiah, what do you want to do when you grow up? He goes, I want to be a fire truck. Fire truck. Now, I think what he meant like by that is a fireman, okay? But he got confused there for a little bit. Someone asked Jack one time, he was a little boy, and Brother Board was here. He goes, who do you want to be like? What do you want to be when you grow up? He goes, I want to be just like Brother Board. Brother Board? Why? Because Brother Board was a pastor, and he was a police officer. Jack just loved that police officer thing. Okay? Now, what do we ought to be? What am I going to be when I grow up? By the way, can I just tell you something? Most of you are not going to be doctors and lawyers. Now, I know you all think you are. Some can be. I remember when we used to get the kids from the Boys and Girls Home. You know, I don't want them to go to Bible college. I want them to be a lawyer. It's like, sister, 3 months ago, they were with a lawyer. Okay, they know all about, by the way, if going to jail counts as training for a lawyer, they ought to be one. Fact of the matter, some of them should be pharmacists. Okay? But being willing is not enough. Let's be willing, but let's not stop at being willing. He was ready to go, and he went, but he was going with nothing to give. Being willing is a start, but it's not enough. Next, we must be preparing. We must be preparing. Verse 20, and Joab said, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. So listen, I'm not sending you. You don't have the message. You're not the guy for the job. Your day's coming. Everything we learn in our life once we're a Christian, everything, really is preparation for helping other people. It helps us so that we can help other people. Some of you that have went through things in your life that are hard or tragic, and you get through that, you know, God has now prepared you to be able to help somebody else that might be going through that very same thing. Life is preparation. We need to be doing what God wants us to do. I heard in college years ago, there are prepared places for prepared people. Maybe you're here, you're a new Christian, and you're here, and you know, you hear all this stuff. What's going on? And I hear about you wanting us to do all this and talking about going to a foreign field and doing all this stuff. Hey, you don't worry about that. You grow in your faith and serve God and serve him each and every day, and God will prepare you for what he has for you to do. Many of us that are doing whatever we're doing for God, there's a time in our life we look back and thought, you know, I would never see myself being here. Maybe you teach a Sunday school class, and maybe if you could look back in your life 15 years ago, you would thought, I never thought I'd be standing before kids every Sunday and teaching the Bible to them. But you know what you did? You grew, and you grew, and you prepared yourself as a Christian, and God says, I got something for you. Amen. Let's always be preparing. Always be growing. That is why we need to know God's word. We must be ready to give an answer to everybody that asks. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you. God wants us to prepare. God wants us not to just stand still in our life and to go forward. Number three, you must be willing to listen. You must be willing to listen. I know I caught this in the story. Look at verse 20 again. He says, verse 20, we read part of it just a minute ago, but he said, he also told Ahimaaz, but this day thou shalt bear no tidings because the king's son is dead. You got that? Let's go down to verse 29. Ahimaaz gets to the king, and the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered and said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great multitude, but I knew not what it was. Hold on, Doc. Go back 7-8 verses. Didn't he just tell you that the king's son was dead? You didn't hear that? Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but it says right there he told him the king's son's dead. Okay, and I think there's only one son that David was really interested in. He wasn't listening. You know, most people don't listen in church. They don't listen to their Bibles, to be real honest with you. How easy it is for us to hear things, and we just don't get it. I mean, and I know people come in, hey, I need to talk to you about something. And this isn't always the case. That's why some of you probably don't want to come talk to me, because I'm not talking about you. Sometimes people come in and say, hey, you know, I have a question about this. And I'm thinking, yeah, we talked about that 3 weeks ago. Okay. Now, that's not always the case. Sometimes we talked about counsel a couple weeks ago, and you found out I'm not completely against it, okay? But we just don't listen. See, we hear the message. God gives it to us. We get it. It's in our life. It's there for us. And now we have something when someone asks to give to them. I love this story. I think I told it many months ago on a Sunday morning, but if you heard it, laugh again, because I love this story. There was three guys that went hunting. There was a doctor, a lawyer, and a preacher, and they were all deer hunting, and here comes this deer running in, and they all shot at it at the same time, and wham, down went the deer. The lawyer gets up and says, I can tell. I'm a lawyer. I get facts. I can tell that my shot took him down. The doctor goes, no, I deal with death. I know. I'm pretty sure I shot and I killed it. The preacher's like, I always tell the truth, I killed him. So the doctor says, wait here, I'm going to run, I'm going to find out who killed the deer, and I'll come right back. So the doctor runs out there, he comes back, he goes, proof positive, the preacher killed the deer. He goes, how do you know that? He goes, well, the bullet went in one ear and right out the other, okay? We laugh about that, there's a lot of truth to that. And we won't even talk about when you talk to your wife. Blah, 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 blah. Honey, sister, we were just talking about that. Okay? All right, I'm just going to get in trouble there. Just move on quickly. Or husbands. Go there. But we don't listen. God wants us to hear from his word and put into practice before we can go out. People don't like to listen. Anything that's authoritative today, people don't like. You know, you know what? We can't tell children what to do. You know, we can't. I hate this phrase. You know, we're not trying to preach to you. Well, let me explain this. When you come into the service, yes, we are. Okay. I mean, you're sitting here. The speakers are pointed at you. I feel like you know that. Okay. We got one pointed up here because that crowd's got some issues. We are preaching to you. You say, that sounds proud. No, because listen, we got a speaker right there and right here. We're preaching to me too. Now, these guys, I give up on them. They're done. Okay, isn't that what the message is supposed to be? Isn't it supposed to be for us? You've had people come and say, man, my wife told you what was going on in my life. No, your wife didn't have to tell me anything. Okay, that's God speaking to you. We need to listen to the message or we have nothing to tell somebody else. He told them the king's son is dead. He says, hey, how's my son doing? I don't know. Well, you didn't listen. Number four. My throat's starting to feel better. Number four. actually it's not. You can't share what you don't know. You can't share what you don't know. Look at verse 21. Then said Joab to Cushai, go and tell the king what thou hast seen. He could trust Cushai because Cushai had the details. Cushai had it down. He knew what was going on. We've already mentioned it. We talked about being prepared, but let me just tell you something. If you come to church on a regular basis, you should not be biblically illiterate. Let me just tell something about church. It shouldn't be a public school where you can graduate from public school and hardly read. Now, I'm thankful for our city because years ago they said their goal was that every child in our city should be able to read by the fourth grade. Our kids learn how to read in our school by 5 years old. By the way, this is an aside, but I'll throw it at you. We had someone in our class one time, they were coming to church barely, and they put their kid in kindergarten, they learned how to read, then they pulled them out and they put them in the public school. The first grade teacher found out in the public school that the child could read, and she told the mom, that's dangerous for the child. I thought guns and drugs were in the school system. Okay, really? But the fact of the matter is, if we're not careful, we become spiritually illiterate. We've got to know God's word. By the way, you know, you're going to have God's going to bring people into your life. Maybe it's somebody at your work and they're going through a problem. This is not the right answer. It's partially right. Well, I'll bring you to the pastor at the church and he can talk to you. Now, if that's all you have, that's fine. But it might be nice if you can be an influence in their life because you have their ear. They know you. But we can't give them something we don't have ourselves. We can't share what we don't know. Our Christianity is so messed up right now, it's pathetic. Many months ago, a man who says he's a Christian, I doubt it, he is a homosexual Christian, and he wrote a book going through the Bible defending homosexuality. The pathetic thing is a Christian, a well-known Christian publisher, published the book. I had someone in my office, they were a new person several years ago, they came to Friend Day, and they were coming a little bit, and they went to my office, and they said, you know, we're gonna quit coming, there's just some things we can't believe. You know, I said, okay, well, name something. He says, this whole thing about homosexuality, it's just not in the Bible. I'm like, that's fine. I said, by the way, have you ever read Romans chapter 1? No. I said, okay, we should look at that. And we looked at some verses, like, wow, it is in there, I know. But listen to Dr. Phil and Oprah. You look in the Bible, it's there. It's not hateful. We don't hate anybody. But truth is truth. But the reason we hear people say, well, that's not true. Okay, it's because you don't look in the Bible. The Bible's got to be the ultimate authority. We don't know what it says. We can't stand. Someone will twist you up like a pretzel because you don't know what to say because you don't know what the Bible says. But we got to have that message to give to people. We got to hurry. Next, your background doesn't limit you or enable you. Ahimaaz was the son of Zadok, the high priest in David's reign. He had a good upbringing. I checked on Cushai. I couldn't find anything about him. He was just a guy. Now, he's a good guy. Maybe he had a good family, but, I mean, he didn't have this special endowed. As we mentioned this morning, what Satan so often does or what we do to ourselves, we post ourselves down to something in our past that happened. Just like we used that illustration this morning about the elephant, and they put the rope on his neck, and the elephant can't move when it's a baby. If you do that enough, when the elephant gets full grown, all you got to do is put a rope around their neck, and they're docile because they associate the rope with, I can't go anywhere. Okay, that's what we do too often in our lives. Now, some of you say, well, I grew up in a Christian home, blah, 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 blah. Well, what about you? That doesn't make you special either. You have to have a relationship with God for yourself. Well, you know, I'm not going to go because the Christian school did this. It has nothing to do with the Christian school. Okay? You can go to, look, I could stand in my garage for days and I'll never be a car. You can go to our Christian school and you could leave here and become an absolute pagan. It has nothing to do with the Christian school. It has everything to do with you. It's your choice. Everybody is to serve God for themselves. Next, we must be able to see past all the activity. I like this. Verse 29 again. And Ahimaaz answered and said, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I know not what it was. You know what he said? He goes, I don't know. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And I couldn't make sense of it. It was just crazy over there. Do you know, look, the world is crazy. There is stuff going on today that's just ridiculous. And it's who's going to make sense of it? We can't just say, well, I don't quite understand it. Just a bunch of, like, oh, isn't it a shame marriages are? Listen, the Bible makes sense of all that stuff. It all just lines right up, and we don't have an option to say, well, you know, just a lot of bad things going on. I just don't know what to do. We do. The Bible tells us very clearly. We got to see past all that's going on. We have to be able to make sense of what is going on. People try to bend the facts to match what they want to say. I gave this illustration, I think, before on a Thursday, but I was listening to this guy, and he's talking about, are people who give to their church, tithe, are they happier than those that don't? And they did a survey, and guess what they found out? They are, just like the Bible said. Well, somebody else tried to flip it around and said, no, what that means is happier people give. You could read something into anything if you want. But when you go to the Bible, you read right into it what God says is right there. We got to be able to see past all of the activity. You say, why do you guys talk about stuff that has to do with what's going on in society? Don't you understand that that can be a problem? Because someone's got to say something. So we're supposed to ignore it when stuff's going on and we see things going on in our country that can be fixed? We see trends in the church or trends in Christianity that are hurtful. We're supposed to stick our head in the sand and ignore it? Isn't the church the place where you ought to come to make sense of what's going on? To say, listen, number one, God says that's nonsense, or God says that's what we're supposed to do. And number two, it's okay. Serving God is wonderful. And lastly, this. We must be willing to deliver the hard truth. Verse 32. And the king said to Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? Now, if he was one of these nowadays preachers that doesn't want to hurt anybody, hey, thanks for the... I just saw a lot going on. I think your team was winning. Wait a minute. It's not what he wants to know. You got to deliver the news. By the way, it's not news he wants to hear. I even like the way he answered him. The enemies of my... He didn't just say, you know, we won the battle, but unfortunately your son's dead. Here's what he says. The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be like that young man. He says, not only is he dead, everybody that's against you ought to be dead just like him. Didn't sound to me like he walked in on eggshells. He told him the truth. By the way, David kind of needed to hear that. And I understand that was his son. But his son was putting his guys in harm's way. And Cushai had no problem telling him the truth. Fact of the matter is, he's not only telling him he's dead, he's kind of calling David out for it. Like, David, he is your enemy. You know, your enemy. And everybody that's your enemy ought to end up like that. Now, maybe I was wrong before when I said about Ahimaaz didn't listen. If that point is wrong, then he was afraid to tell David the truth. Either way, it's not good. Do you know, sometimes if we're going to give people news, we got to give them the hard truth. You know, Christianity is afraid to talk about hell anymore. Now, if I could pull anything out of the Bible, and I know I shouldn't and I wouldn't, but you know what I'm saying. Hell's something that just bothers me. Why? Because we don't think about it enough. You know, there's somebody you like, and maybe they weren't a Christian, you know, but they were a nice guy or what. Thomas Jefferson was not a Christian. He didn't claim to be one. He was a deist. Good guy, but if he died without Christ, you know where he went? Yeah. But you know what? We got the news to stop people from going there. But we're not going to help people if we're afraid to tell them the hard truth. If someone is doing something that's hurtful, But we're afraid to say, hey, listen, the Bible says you don't do this. It's not good for you. It's hurtful. Are we really helping them? Our goal isn't just to get a big crowd by coming in here and dropping syrup on you every week. We're going to talk about how to adjust your attitude, how to be happy. We want you to be happy. We'll adjust your attitude, all that stuff. But, you know, there are some times you need to get up and say, listen, this is not good for you. This is what God says. Jesus told the truth all the time. John chapter 8, read it. He was so point blank and brutal, everybody started leaving. I said, hey, I thought we were going to come here and you're going to feed us or heal somebody or do something. And then he looked at the disciples and said, hey, you guys bailing out? Are you guys going to go too? He needed to tell them the truth. Why? No one gets healing unless they know that they have an issue. I'm glad somebody told me one day a long time ago that I was a sinner on my way to hell. Glad for that. Why? Because that led me to trust Christ. Okay? Not this flowery, hey, let's just all love Jesus. Bow your head and close your eyes. Dear Jesus, save me. Amen. Yeah, you're saved. Really? You didn't even tell them about their sin. What are you saved from? A bad lunch? I mean, come on. But we got to be willing to tell people the truth. Now, I know some people, we go to the other side because I know some people, and I almost wonder sometimes, they just want to be negative just to be negative. We'll have a negativity contest. The reason we're negative is because we want you to have a life that's positive. Man, I'm so glad as a new Christian coming into church and hearing the word and hearing things saying, man, I need to adjust that in my life if I'm going to get to where God wants me to go. I'm glad someone stated the truth. Someone needed to tell David the truth. What am I saying tonight? We have a world that needs the news. They need the news of salvation. They need the news of sanctification. They need the news of hope. But we can't give them something we don't have. We got too many high masses around here. I'm a runner. I deliver messages. What message do you deliver? I don't know, but I like to run. But here's Cushai, prodding along. We're in Bible college. They used to call it freshman fire. All the freshmen would get up there. They're all excited. Oh, man, we're serving God. The rest of you guys are all backslidden. It's like, we'll see you in 2 years. 70% of the freshman class was gone after 1 year. It's like, where are you guys at? Send us your address. We'll get you a postcard for Christmas. It's people that stick around year by year, faithful to God, growing in their faith, and they influence others with the good news of the Word of God. That's what we need. We need people to deliver the news. Don't be someone that doesn't have the news to give. Let's all stand together tonight. Thank you for listening.